my fellow confused and probably hungover 20-somethings, and welcome back to Navigating Your 20s, a podcast pointing you in the wrong direction with me, Kate Whittaker. Time for more drunken chats on the mishaps and mind boggles of adulthood, from the time you left your passport in a toilet in Prague to the time you got fired twice. So grab a beer, even if it's 10 a.m, and let's roll the titles. Hello, my fellow confused 20-somethings, and welcome to episode 5 of Navigating Your 20s, a podcast pointing you in the wrong direction with me, Kate Whittaker. Just a quick note before we start, in light of worldly events, I'm sending you all a massive virtual hug, I hope you're all okay, and a massive thank you to the NHS and all the key workers for being selfless souls, and for every single act of kindness that everyone has committed. And another quick thank you to all the lovely listeners. We've now streamed in 13 countries, which is just incredible. And that one listener in Russia, please get in touch. Anyways, I'm so excited to be joined by my dear friend of nearly 5 years, AJ Hartley, founder of Zanaya Yoga. I'll let AJ chat all about her work in a second, but we figured it was an appropriate time to chat all about the beauty of tough times, whether that be failure, heartache, setbacks, and just damn unfair moments in life. We'll be chatting about the gratitude and finding beauty in tough times, as well as all the lessons we've learnt from them, the silver linings and the better direction they've often steered us in, and often while failure is probably one of the best things that can happen to you. So without further ado, let's roll the titles! So coming to you remotely in isolation, AJ Hartley live and direct, all the way from New Zealand. AJ, are you there?
Hello, yes I am.
Oh my god. This is so exciting. Thank you so much for doing this.
No, thank you for having me. This is so exciting.
To kind of just kick us off, I think, just tell us a little bit about you and your work, because it's absolutely incredible, the things that you do.
Yeah, of course. So I'm trying to think what year we're in. We're in 2020. So 3 years ago, I graduated from the University of York with you. Well, you were the year below, but, you know, same thing. And after graduating, I went into an admin job, quickly realized it wasn't for me, moved to Barcelona and kind of discovered and committed to my passion, which really was the practice of yoga and mainly the spiritual aspect of that. And having struggled with various mental health things throughout my life, I found it to be a really impacting and beneficial thing for me to do. So decided to set up my own business after graduating from my 200-hour teaching qualification. And I had my own business called Zanaya Yoga, as you said, for 2 years before I recently moved out to New Zealand, at which point it's kind of taken a bit of a back burner. But yeah, it's been a really incredible journey and taught me a lot of very valuable things. So
just watching you kind of blossom and be like, do you know what? Fuck it, I'm going to New Zealand. Like, you're living your life, and I'm so proud of you, and so many people can sort of take a page from kind of your amazing, zesty approach to life.
Yeah.
We can all universally acknowledge that now is a tough time. I think this whole COVID-19, we'll try and mention it as least as possible, just for a bit of escapism. But I think, we'll just touch upon it quickly. I think it's kind of made us all realise what's important. It's affected us all in some way. No one seems to have gotten an easy ride. It's affected us, all of our loved ones, all of our jobs and finances and everything. So I think it's just about kind of, you know, we see all these platitudes thrown at us like, oh, you know, everything happens for a reason and silver linings and all that stuff, but it's so much harder to apply it in practice in daily life. So how do you kind of stay positive through a tough time?
Oh, everything you've said is just so bang on. It is so much more difficult to put into practice being positive when you're faced with a challenge or a difficulty. I think the key thing really is it's all rooted in your mindset. It's all rooted in how you want to feel. We so often forget the power that we possess as people and as individuals on how we feel. We become quite easily ingrained in this mindset of we have to be what happens to us, rather than taking back the control that we do have to steer our lives in whatever direction we want them to be, to feel how we want to feel. And it sounds really daunting in times when we are overwhelmed with, you know, at the moment, such a thing as a pandemic or just a tough time or whatever it may be. And I think really staying rooted in what power we have in defining and determining our own lives is a really massive part of that, and just not allowing ourselves to forget how powerful we are in creating our own realities.
How do you even go about that? Your brain is so complex.
The brain is so complex. I think it's so rooted in practices that a lot of us probably have heard about before, really very basic things, you know, getting outside, getting your fresh air, that can give you a whole new realm of thought, a whole new perspective. But also things like gratitude, which is something that we've talked about a lot as friends. But gratitude is really such a defining part of how you see the world, of how you live your life, of, you know, the type of experience you have. And I think it's so underrated. Literally, when you find yourself in a tough spot, the number of times I read somewhere, I don't remember where it was, years ago, about being able to sit down and just, when you're overwhelmed with feeling negative thoughts or negative, you know, reactions to certain things, just being able to sit and ground yourself in gratitude is so powerful. And you can actually shift your whole energetic field to feeling better and to kind of rooting yourself in this awareness of how amazing life is and not be bogged down by all the things that might be impacting you. Because yes, they are there, they are happening, and they will continue to happen. But if you can ground yourself and root yourself in this gratitude and grateful heart space, it completely shifts the way you feel, the way you see things, the way you react and interact, and can really just be the game changer for it.
I think as well, it's about finding kind of little things that make you, you know, grateful, and just sort of, you know, from little things like, I'm really grateful this morning because the sun's blaring through my window. It's a beautiful blue sky, which is typical, isn't it? That it's the blue sky and all this is happening. But it makes things more positive, I guess. And this beautiful cup of coffee I've made that's very strong and very beautiful and very warm. And I think it kind of, from, you can take something that seems mundane and kind of go, actually, this has given me so much, like, happiness.
Absolutely.
And joy. And then from that, it's a whole different mindset and everything seems wonderful rather than just
you can find the beauty in the tiniest of things. And I think it is actually so powerful to find that in the mundane, in the everyday. It's not, you know, the extraordinary. We're not living life for when we go on our next holiday or when we find ourselves in an extraordinary situation. It's being able to say, oh, you know, I see this room every single day. Here's what I love about it. Oh, even though I've seen it a million times, this is what I'm still grateful for. I'm grateful even just to be awake and to be breathing and to be aware and to have the opportunities that I have, and just never losing sight of that. And I think that's, yeah, like you said, the really differentiating part of that.
God, yeah. There's this really beautiful book I've been reading called Things You Can See Only When You Slow Down. All these little things you overlook, and the way we kind of live our lives, and I'm speaking especially on my own kind of behalf, is that it's just unsustainable. The amount of times I rush around and have late nights and then early starts and party at the weekend, like, that's just not been good for me at all. And now I've got time to slow down and do my daily workouts. It's like, oh my God, like, I feel so much healthier. Like, what?
Yeah, your whole life changes just in those sort of routines. And I think it's so easy to get caught up in it, you know? We, especially in our age group and our kind of conditioning in terms of social life and all the rest of it, we're so sucked into this idea of what you're meant to be doing and that you can do it all, and actually you can't. There is so much power in slowing down and connecting with your own truth, connecting with what is most important to you, and not losing sight of the beauty of the tiny moments of, like you said, friendships and time on your own and time doing the things that fill you with passion and make you feel good. They're, you can't replace them, and you can burn out way quicker than you mean to. And we can be so walked into this idea of shame and fear that we aren't keeping up with everyone else, especially at our age, you know, early to mid 20s. There's a lot of pressure to be able to go on late nights out and get up early and hold a full-time job and do all these things, and actually it's not sustainable and it's not healthy, and you're definitely not living the highest quality of life. And prioritizing that and being able to recognize that as well, there's so much beauty in that rather than just being sucked into who we are supposed to be or meeting norms that actually have never fulfilled anyone.
We're kind of so sucked in, so aren't we, this kind of productivity culture, and I think it's so damaging because it's such a shame to now, like, just be, like, no one does that. No one's just like, what are you doing? I'm just being. And when you do have those moments of stillness, it gives you perspective on tough times, doesn't it? And I think, have there been kind of any tough times in your life that now you kind of see in a really beautiful way, like, oh my God, actually thank fuck that happened to me because it led to that?
Oh yes, I mean, shitting hell, we won't dive too deeply into this, but as you are aware, I recently, well, not recently, a while ago, came out of a very toxic relationship, which took me a very long time to leave, based on certain elements of it. But at the time was, you know, a very devastating and difficult thing for me to go to. It had a slightly, you know, toxic and abusive element to it, which, you know, a lot of people can relate to, becomes quite addictive in certain ways. And I think at the time it was a really big, you know, heartbreak. It was a really big down moment for me. And I moved to New Zealand as a result and decided that my life was mine to live. Ever since I've been in this country, my life has, everything has just fallen into alignment, fallen into place, which I was never expecting to happen. Mm-hmm. I met my new partner, doing things for myself. I'm probably living one of the better versions of my life, which would have never come if I hadn't gone through that heartbreak, gone through that very difficult time. And I think that's the perspective you get every time we go through these things. You know, no matter how old you are, you're going to experience these things. People break up. And especially by the time you get to our age in our 20s, you would be very far and few between to be someone who hasn't experienced something along those lines. And being able to learn along that journey and, you know, take steps to better yourself, to realize what you do and don't want in yourself, what you will and won't accept going forwards. You know, there are so many lessons to be found, so much growth to be experienced. And I think they're really the key defining moments. And yeah. Can have a huge.
It's really interesting. Firstly, I'm so proud of you for being so badass and just moving to New Zealand and living your best life. And secondly, I think it's kind of what you're saying, kind of like the interlink between a tough time and like self-development and this kind of thing where you're in your 20s, and if a tough time is thrown at you, I think you've got to see it. And I think it is, you know, matter of fact, it's helping you grow. And I think in your 20s, it's so important. And I think I actually crave tough times in my 20s. You know, that's how I'm trying to see it anyway, because that means that I'm growing and I'm still learning. And I think the worst thing you can do in your 20s is be like, what's the word, stagnant and just still and just kind of, this is me now, I'm content, whatever. I think you should always be striving for more, whether that's like more beautiful new friends or seeing new countries or, you know, kind of discovering new skills, I think. Yeah. And if you go through a time, usually that's life's way of saying, I'm just going to nudge you over there because you're being stagnant.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I think, you know, especially at our age, we are so young. I think it's so easy to get caught up in this mindset of, oh, I'm in my 20s, I should have my shit together. No, you shouldn't. Like, no one has ever known what they're doing in their 20s. And it is literally a period of massive transformation, massive growth, massive, you know, a deepening of your awareness of who you are, of what you want, of what you're willing to sacrifice, of where you want to be. There are so many things that actually we don't know the answers to. And there's so much beauty in that. And just allowing ourselves to stay grounded in that rather than bogging ourselves down with, we should know what we're doing. No, you shouldn't. And it is in our nightmarish times that we find the most growth. We find out who we are, who's there for us, what we want. All the important stuff comes to the surface. And yeah, what more could you really ask for?
Hate that phase of like, get my shit together, because we all use it on a daily basis.
Definitely.
It's like, what does that even... There's no like objective universal template. Congratulations, you've passed getting your shit together now. You've got it means different things for so many people, and it's like you could join the circus, and that for you could be getting your shit together. That could be your dream, you know.
There are no comparisons, and we are so drawn into this idea of comparing ourselves to people we know, to friends, to especially people we don't like. Like that seems to be a big thing. Like. Measuring ourselves against people we maybe don't even know, people we have no relationships with, people that we are friends with, people that we've known that are older than us, and there's just no comparison. And I think a big part of maintaining our mental health throughout our 20s in general is just removing that and being strong and resilient in yourself, and say every time you get to a point where you start to do that, bring yourself back to you. It's not about that. It's only about yourself and your own journey.
So true. Do you think kind of tough times are kind of heightened a little bit in our 20s because everything is kind of changing and confused and moving at a really fast
rate? Yeah, I definitely do. I think we're, you know, at the peak of our lives in terms of tough times, in terms of challenges, in terms of, you know, before that you're kind of muddling through as a teenager. You don't really know what your life is going to, where you're going to end up, what you're going to do. I think even especially if you go to uni, the after uni graduation phase is a really tough one. You and I spoke a lot about that when we both graduated, and I think that's something that's not spoken about. You're expected to, when you graduate, know what you're doing, be able to, that's meant to be your life. And actually, that's not the case. And I think more cases out of not, there is so much confusion. You have such a mixed emotional capacity at that age where you just don't know what you're doing. And people really underestimate the impact that can have on your mental health and your well-being in general. Mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, we absolutely are. Everything is changing. You don't have a settled career. You're figuring out as you go through different jobs what actually you want to do, what you came out of uni, or even prior to that, if you didn't go to uni, there are different things you thought you might end up doing with your life. And then it comes to it and they might not align with you. They might not be what you want anymore. Maybe you're a different person. Maybe you've learned something along the way. And I think we need to learn to take the pressure off ourselves because things are changing. We also expect to, the first proper serious relationship we have to lead to marriage. Well, it doesn't work like that. You're learning a lot about yourself. Yeah. And without these experiences, you'll never get to that end point where you do feel settled. And there is no way to kind of skip these processes. You have to go through it all and learn it all and grow with it all. And, ultimately, hopefully step into the best version of yourself with a clear connection to who you are and what you want out of life. And as you figure these things out, everything will slot into place. And it's just keeping that faith rather than letting it overwhelm you, I suppose.
Yeah, it's kind of like being in your 20s, it's not too dissimilar from kind of being a young teenager. And we all went through these little phases, and I look back at what I used to wear and I'm like, I think that was cool. I used to wear like dungarees with like stripy red and blue tights, and then I dyed my hair purple and I was like, I look sick. I think it's important to kind of go through those phases to discover what you like and what you don't like. And it is like being a teenager again, because you're constantly changing. You're constantly kind of going, actually, today I've just decided I really like mushrooms. And like, I actually really like country music. And like, I actually don't like, this as much as I thought I did. And that's all fine, isn't it? And that's all part of the process.
Absolutely. I think we're also so scared to lose our identities, for years from the age of being a teenager and maybe going through uni or not going through uni. We identify and we define ourselves in certain ways, and I think it can be a really big thing to let go of those identities, but actually finding the strength and the courage to accept who we are, know that you can grow and change as a person, and that's amazing and beautiful, and it doesn't take away anything else. But I think, like you say, it can be a really big thing to kind of disconnect from those things that we did associate with, or just one day realize, actually, this is what I like, or this is what I want in a partner, this is who I want to be, this is actually different today than it was 3 months ago. And not being afraid to own those changes and own our growth and our transformation, but actually be really strong in that and say, wow, like, how incredible is this that I've been able to make this progress, or actually step more into my authentic reality of who I am, and not just be conditioned or follow what's expected of me or what I expect of myself, but let myself be who I need to be and love that at every step of the way.
Yes, it's all about perspective, isn't Definitely. It? I think if you could kind of go back and tell the younger you, say 16-year-old or whatever, kind of a piece of advice when she was going through a bit of a tough time, what would you say to her?
I think the main takeaway for me when I look back at all difficult periods of my life would be to hold on to the knowledge of, what is meant for me won't ever miss me. At the end of the day, what is meant to be mine in this life? I'm a big believer in things working out. And I think everyone that I've known, myself included, who has gone through a difficult time, your life takes you where you're supposed to go. You won't know it in the time. You won't know it when you're crying on the bathroom floor or when you're drunk as hell trying to get through it. No, that the lessons are never clear then. But ultimately, hold on to the faith that everything works out as it's supposed to. Wherever you're supposed to end up, you will get there. And it doesn't matter how long it takes or what obstacles, crop up in the meantime. If you're supposed to be somewhere, you'll end up there. And if you're meant to meet a certain person, you'll meet them. Whatever is meant to be for you is yours. Like, it's already inevitable. It's just a matter of you kind of taking the steps along your own journey to get there.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true. It's kind of like whether you're religious or spiritual, or you just kind of believe in kind of everything happens for a reason, or even if you're against all that, I think it's just trust in the process and trusting and backing yourself as well, and being like, I will get through this. I've gotten through this tough time. my body is stronger than I think mm-hmm. it is, and I will get through this. You know, everything passes, doesn't it? Nothing
exactly.
lasts forever.
I think that explains it entirely. It is, and I think a massive part of it is not always extending your faith to, you know, a universe or a god or whatever it is you may or may not believe in, but also, like you said, backing yourself entirely. Like, you know yourself, you know what you're capable of. You can make whatever you want possible a reality. It is entirely within your control and your hands, and you're more than capable of achieving anything you want. And so often we just need to remind ourselves of that, of our own power and our own ability to actually, you know, motivate ourselves and get to where we want to be, because nothing can ever stop us.
Yeah, I love that. Oh, what a beautiful little way to end part one. We just sort of do a little jingle in the middle. I don't really know what's going on at the minute. I just sort of go, thank you for listening to part one, and then I put a little jingle in and see what happens. But thank you so much for listening to part one. We'll see you after this literally 5 second break. And welcome back to part two, where I'm joined by my beautiful friend AJ, and we're talking all about the beauty of tough times and failure. Now it's time for everyone's favourite part of the episode, and the most winged, improvised part of the episode. It's time for the Funny Games Game Show! So AJ, I'm going to give you a cheeky word. And you need to give everyone, you know, some life advice about tough times using this word. Are you ready for this?
I think.
So your word is sun. Or sunshine, really. Whatever way you want it. Or sunny. Go for it.
Any take on the word with sun in it. Well, I think, first of all, first statement would have to be is you can absolutely create your own sunshine in whatever circumstance you're in. I think, like you said at the beginning of this podcast, having an actual sun that is beaming down on you is such a massive mood changer. You can wake up feeling really crap and then you see the sun shining and it can completely boost your mood. But the main takeaway here is you do not need the actual sun to feel its impacts. You can create that for yourself. You can, you know, through your mindset, through what you do, through where you put your energy and your perspective and everything in your life, you can create your own sunshine. And I think everyone needs to remember that, especially in times when they're feeling really down or feeling really deflated. Just remember, you have that ability, and that is also within you. There's a massive internal sun shining away, and all you need to do is tap into it.
So, on to part two. So, we're just going to kind of sort of steer casually onto kind of failure, because I know kind of failure could be, you know, six podcasts, you know, episodes in a row, but I think failure kind of, it really incorporates tough times, because we kind of view tough times as a failure, because as humans, we're kind of, and especially as 20-somethings, we're kind of intrinsically drawn to kind of good times and fun and adrenaline. And when we're going through a tough time, I'm like, how dare I be sad? Like, I'm not allowed to be sad. This isn't living my best life. What's this about? Like, this could go away. This is aesthetic. This can't go on Instagram. Like, so I kind of think kind of drawing light of these failures is really, really important. There's a beautiful podcast called How to Fail, which is so good. And I recommend anyone kind of listens to it, because it's kind of sort of saying how failure kind of leads you to a better success, which sounds cheesy, but it's so true. And it's what we've kind of touched upon previously. So taking that then, it's kind of failure. Do you think it's kind of a blessing in disguise?
Oh, absolutely. I think failure brings you so many amazing lessons that you need in life to build who you are as well, your own resilience, your own awareness, your own perspective. Without failing, you can't ever learn things in that way. And I think when you only have success, you're completely blinded to the struggles that go into creating success. You need to fail. And more often than not, it's only when you do fail that you ever reach success. I know from my own experience, the number of times I felt like I failed or I'm in the process of failing. And then as the time passes, I realized actually they were the making of me. They were the making of where I needed to be and the lessons that were really integral to, you know, say building my business or learning about who I am a bit more. Failing is a key part of life and it's something we can't avoid. And there's a big element of power in reveling in that failure, rather than beating ourselves up over it. Like you said, we're so conditioned to critique ourselves and to be hard on ourselves rather than embracing where we are. You know, if you go for a job and you don't get the job, the idea of failing can be such a huge thing on our self-esteem, on the way we carry ourselves, on the way we feel about ourselves. And we need to completely shift this mindset, because it's not about failing. It's not about not being good enough. It's not about these negative associations we have with this idea, inverted commas, of failing. It's looking beyond that and understanding, what can I take from this? How can I improve myself? How can I live a better life as a result of this, in brackets, failure?
Yeah, and I think when we're kind of younger, failure is very black and white. We're kind of taught if we work hard, we'll get good grades. If we work hard, we'll get that job. And that's kind of it. So to kind of work hard and then not get something, it's like, this isn't how I was conditioned to think. And I'll never forget being 17 and I was doing like a summer abroad at Harvard. And that to me was like, oh, I've made it now. Like, I'll never fail again, because I've, you know, I've gone to Harvard. I'm set. This is great. And then A-level results came in, sorry, AS results, and I got a D in French. And I'll never forget, like, sorry, what? How could I get a D in French? Like, I learned French songs on the guitar, for God's sake. Like, I'm nearly fluent, you know, and I wasn't. But yeah, and just learning to accept that I got a D in AS French, 17-year-old me was like, what? But I've worked hard. I'm at Harvard. Like, how have I got a D? That's not how law works. But actually, that is the best, probably one of the best things that's ever happened to me, because at the time I was like, oh my God, I'm going to go to Durham, I'm going to study English and French, and I'm going to do a year in Paris and sit on the tower every morning with my posse on and my French. And then to just think that's not going to happen anymore, I'm going to just have to do straight English lit, was like, that, what? Yep. My life's fucked. But that's actually the best thing that could have happened, because I ended up going to York, and I wouldn't, you know, I would relive York a million times over. I'm sure we all would. It was
amazing. I can relate.
So I look back at that, like, thank God I got a D.
Honestly, same. And I can relate exactly to your story. So at A level, I got what did I get? I was due to go to, I can't even remember now. Where was I supposed to go to university? Anyway, it wasn't York. I can't even remember. But no, I got an A star in politics, which is what I studied at uni. I got a B in English, which was unheard of. I got all my mocks an A, and then I got a C in history. So the AAB that I needed to get into, where was it? I can't even remember. Anyway, wherever I wanted to go at the time, didn't get my place because I didn't get AAB. I got A star BC. It was all to study politics as well, which was also on a whim. And then I went through clearing and got into York. And again, it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And at the time, I had never been more disheartened. I'd never been more embarrassed. I'd never hated myself more for not getting the grades. Like, my whole self-worth was rooted in what grades I got. And looking back, I just think it's so ridiculous. It's absolutely so ridiculous. And I think our generation, having experienced a lot of these pressures and a lot of these difficulties that we've had with such things in our lives, will allow us to, you know, if any of us do go on to have children, know how it doesn't need to be like this. And I think that lesson as well, for how we would do things differently, or how we would conduct ourselves and be more aware of emotions and other factors in play, and mental health especially, that it's not the be all and end all if you don't make the grades, and life does work out, and no matter what happens, it's not the end of the world. And we need to really begin shifting our whole collective mindset to, if things go wrong, the world's not over. Like, life's not ending, like you said.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I read about two different mindsets, you'll probably know all about it. It's kind of, there's a growth mindset and a fixed mindset. And the fixed mindset would get, you know, see a situation where you failed and then use that as an adjective and be like, I am a failure. Whereas a growth mindset would see the situation as, I failed, but I'm not a failure, I'm learning things and I'm better for that. And I realised that I was actually the fixed-term mindset, because whenever I fail, you know, you and all my friends will know all about this. I'm like, oh my God, I'm a failure. I'm terrible. I'm never going to get this. I'm never going to get... And people are like, Kate, like, it's not the end of the world. And I think we really need to learn to kind of celebrate our failures more, and kind of, you know, we would never put on Instagram, woo, I failed my test for the sixth time. Woo, celebrations, like, woo, you know. But I think, I mean, if someone had, it would be banter, but I think we do need to kind of get out of this conditioning where failures are final and failures
massively
are self-worth, because I think
they are. And I think everyone you speak to in life has learned and become who they are as a result of their failures. And it's like you said, these different mindsets you have, it's all about the way you talk to yourself. I think self-soothing and like being able to rationalize with yourself and be like, actually, no, it doesn't mean I'm a failure. It means, okay, I failed in this instance. But actually, where has this meaning behind failure even come from? Did I create that? No, I don't think I did. And also, even if I have failed and it's this huge negative thing, so what? Like, it doesn't mean that I am only this. I don't define myself by this failure. And I think sometimes coming back to who you know you are as a person, as an individual, as a being can be really helpful as well. It's gaining that perspective. And a lot of the time that can be rooted in gratitude. So, okay, maybe I failed this job interview, but it doesn't mean I'm never going to get another one. It doesn't mean I can't get to where I want to be. I just need to be strong and keep persevering and tap into everything that I know I am as a person. And even the same with successes. Like, I think it's detrimental to condition and define yourself in these ways. You have to see everything more broadly and step out of it and understand that there's so much more at play. There's so much more working. You don't know why you didn't get something. Maybe something better is coming. I have an example of that actually recently. When I first moved here, I didn't work for a little while and I was getting really down. For anyone that, you know, like post-uni, when you aren't working and you have no motivation or passion, it can be really difficult to kind of keep yourself in good spirits. You don't know what you're doing. You feel purposeless. You feel like you've got no direction. Yeah. You don't really know who you are because you put so much into that. Anyway, so long story short, I needed a quick job because I'd spent through all my savings when I first got to New Zealand. And I was offered this job in a shop at, you know, minimum wage. It wasn't anything special. And I came home and I knew I really needed the money. I literally was broke. And I spoke to my partner about it. And I was like, I don't know what it is. I just don't think this is the job for me. Anyway, stayed true to that. And for probably one of the first times in my life, I really stayed true to that. Didn't take the job, declined when I was offered it. And I think it was like 4 days later, I went to another interview randomly out of the blue to work at the Ministry of Health in a commission team that was the initial Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission. So everything that I care about. And suddenly out of the blue, I had this opportunity in front of me, was given the job, was earning more than double what I would have been on at the cafe. And suddenly I was working. I felt more purposeful because it was, you know, topics I really care about and have spent the last few years investing in. And it was all because I kind of stuck to my guns and said, actually, I trust that there's something different out there.
Yeah, it happened to me as well. Over summer, I applied for like this really cool kind of PR job where I did marketing like Vimto. And I was like, I was set with it because the office was really cool. It was in Manchester. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to market Vimto. That's sick. And then, you know, when the interview goes really well and you kind of just think, oh, I've smashed that 100%. Yeah, I might get it. And then you don't get it.
How did that happen?
Like, it's really like discombobulated. I remember being really downhearted and just like, how did I not get it? Like, I did all the research. Like, that job would have been perfect. Like, oh, damn. But then actually 2 weeks later, I got onto the network scheme in Edinburgh and then met my future boss and then got the job at ITV.
Fell into place.
Kind of just, you know, better things do come along. And it happened to my friend Dan. You know, he was just graduated and he was applying for some grad schemes. He got, you know, offered one and turned it down. And his parents were like, what are you doing? Why are you turning down a job? Because, you know, in our, you know, back in our parents' day, they would never turn down a job. A job's a job. But he was like, Mum, Jane, Mark, chill out. Like, you know, something will come along. And it did.
Yeah, you know? You never know what's around the corner. So even in times, and I think especially in times when things are difficult or it's hard to see what's happening, just holding on to that, things will work out. Like, it doesn't matter how badly you fuck up, no matter what you do, everything will work out. And whatever is meant for you will not miss you. It's all coming together. We're in the process of it. That is what your 20s are for. And there's just no need to do it to ourselves. You can. If you need a day just for your mental health, if you need time to chill out and not really connect with the stresses and the pressures of it all, that's cool. If you want to fuck off for a year and go and live or travel or experience something new, that's okay. You have your whole life to figure everything out. And you know what?
Yeah.
It's more in the times when you're not trying to figure it out that things figure themselves out.
God, yeah. So true. It's so true. What would you kind of say is your kind of biggest lesson you've kind of learned from failure, whether that's kind of a heartbreak or a job loss or, you know, kind of
I think my number one takeaway would always be to back yourself. It doesn't matter, you know, if you, like I said, royally fuck up, if you do something wrong, if you know you balls up an interview or balls up a relationship or whatever it may be, you need to love yourself firstly, and you will never be able to be in a position where you can grow or boost your esteem or really get where you need to be or want to be in life if you don't first and foremost love yourself. And it's such a process, and getting there doesn't happen overnight. We're not conditioned to love ourselves. We're not ever taught what it means to value yourself and your worth and really know yourself inside out. And that is part of this process and this journey that we're all on. You know, you have to learn it and you have to really commit to it and be conscious of it. But yeah, that would be my main takeaway, to love yourself. And if I could have done it and learned how to do it a lot earlier, I absolutely would have.
I absolutely love that. Nothing is ever fixed, you know, whether that's success or failure. You wouldn't succeed once and just go around telling people, I am success. I am just the version. I have a definition. You know, look it up. That's me. So at the same time, why do we go around going, oh my God, guys, I'm a failure.
You
can't be a failure. That's not a, you know, it's not a thing in tough times. You know, you're going,
definitely. And also, everything you speak, you're attracting. I'm a really big believer in whatever you say, whatever you think, you're then attracting into your life. So if you keep telling yourself, I'm a failure, I'm not going to get what I want, you're exacerbating that. Whereas if you, even if you think you failed, say you just got told you didn't make an interview that you had, if you then say, okay, like you said, I have failed in this instance, it's also shifting the whole linguistics of that, which you will know about having studied obviously language. It's about speaking into existence what you want. If you say, okay, well, the next one I'll get, speaking positively to yourself, speaking positively about yourself, speaking positively about your experiences in life, really just is so pivotal to creating the life and the mindset and the happiness that you want.
Love that. So kind of just wrapping up kind of failure and tough times and all the shit that life sometimes throws at you, I think it's all right, isn't it? I think we all kind of forget that we're all humans, and you get so bogged down in the everyday and trying to look impressive on Instagram to live your best life, and you know, all I need to be constantly happy, that you forget that we are all human beings, and we all feel shit and we all go through shit, and that's actually, you know, that's fine, and it's part of being human, I think, isn't it, to go through a tough time, and you can't really avoid it, and you just have to kind of ride the wave. Because what I've found often is when you go through a shit time, often that is right before something freaking beautiful is about to happen, and you kind of just need to go through it to gain
definitely
the little golden nugget at the end.
Couldn't agree more.
So thank you so much. I think that's a really beautiful way to kind of wrap it up, really. Thank you so much for joining me. Do you want to chat a little bit about your kind of upcoming work?
Yeah, I suppose so. I only have I don't have too much on at the moment, but I have got a 7-day like mindset / energetic cleanse coming up, which is going to be online on my website for just £4. Anyone who may be in New Zealand listening, it's $8. So I've tried to keep it really affordable. It will have a lot of guided meditations, a lot of ebooks and kind of templates for gratitude lists and various other practices that will help to completely shift and change direction of your mindset, help you get into these really essential practices for making the most out of your life and feeling as good as you possibly can, as everything we've discussed in this podcast today. So if anyone's interested, head up to my website, www.zanayayoga.com, and you'll find everything there.
It's been an absolute joy, honestly. I feel so inspired, and I'm about to go and have a really nice pleasant day of isolation. I really am. And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening. If you've had a nice time, please do subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you've got a topic that you want us to navigate together, just let me know. And why not binge all the other episodes? Give us a follow at Navigating Your 20s Podcast on Instagram and Facebook to stay up to date. And see you next time on Navigating Your 20s.